Awkward Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill. We're going to break down another week of Chicago Bulls action for you guys, just kind of taking a long view here, going week by week. I'm kind of glad we didn't record, you know, yesterday, Trey. You know what? I won't even say that one ticked me off as much as the Spurs loss, which we'll get into here. But all in all, it's just like overall week, you know, the Bulls went 1-2. They beat the Pacers, lost a back-to-back to the Spurs and the Sixers. So all in all, it was an okay week. It could have been better, though, right?
It definitely could have been better. It was nice to see them take care of business against the Pacers, and it was one of those games where the Bulls pulled out ahead. They let the Pacers come back into it a little bit, but as soon as they started to show signs of life, the Bulls just put their foot down on their throat and finished it off. So that was really encouraging to see. And I know the Pacers are clearly the worst team we've played this season, but it was also the only game this season where the Bulls didn't fall behind by, you know, basically double digits in the first quarter. So to me, I think it shows if the Bulls can stop getting out of their own way to start games. That was the takeaway I got, because they were down 14 to the Spurs in the first. They were down 15 to the 76ers in the first quarter. Down 19 was the highest number, but 15 in the first. You can't dig double-digit holes in first quarters and continue to dig out of them and win games, no matter what team you are.
Yeah, I know. I've just been driving back and forth, doing a lot of driving this week, so I only got to watch maybe about half of each game. I do have them recorded, so I do watch them the next day, kind of while I'm doing other stuff. So it's not like I'm watching them super intently, but I do have them on in the background. But I was listening to one of the games on the radio, and Bill Weddington, I think it was talking about, you know, it sucks because, like, the Bulls spent so much energy coming back against the Spurs, and then they had to do it again against the 76ers, and they came out just absolutely flat in that 76ers game. And, you know, I felt like both of those games were an opportunity to win one. I feel like the Spurs, they should have. I mean, the Spurs are on fire right now. Like, I'm going to give the Spurs all the flowers that they deserve, because they beat the Timberwolves tonight as of the recording of this podcast. And they're playing really, really good basketball. So, you know, I'm going to give them credit where credit's due. But the Bulls should still handle that Spurs team, right? I mean, we still have more talent.
Definitely. And Devin Vassell was also out for the Spurs. Yeah. So it wasn't even like they were at optimal health either. You want to see this Bulls team come out and just take care of business. And the Spurs, everyone looks at them as a bad team. And they are. They're probably the least talented team in the league. But Popovich is going to put them in places to succeed. And the talent level in the NBA is so good right now. The league's looking at expanding, getting two more teams in the league because it's so deep. So when you're an NBA starter, you're not a bad player. So if you have a coach as good as Popovich, who can put you in positions to succeed. And the Spurs, they shot 5 of 12 from three-point land in the first quarter. If you can shoot that in the first quarter, you're likely going to, if not jump out to a huge lead, at least hang around.
Yeah, let me talk about that for a minute. And that's something I saw actually on Twitter earlier today, too. I think it was Stephen Noe, maybe it was somebody else that covers the Bulls. But somebody had posted that, you know, the Bulls officially have a three-point defense problem. And I know, I think it was, again, Bill Winnington I was listening to that had pointed out, or maybe it was Stacey, that the Bulls were giving up the second highest three-point percentage in the entire league. And that's not, you know, you can say, a lot of times you look at something like that, and you can say, oh, well, it'll come back to the mean, you know, it'll average out. But this is actually the product of us not getting out to shooters. And I honestly, I've watched every game. I watched portions of every game at least. And I've rewatched a couple of these games, Trey. And I can't honestly tell you why. We've got the athletes. So I don't know why we can't get out to shooters and get into their bodies. And I mean, obviously, we don't want to foul these shooters. Like, shout out Kobe White, who's already fouled like 3 3-point shooters this season. But, you know, we want to contest those shots. And it just seems like the Bulls aren't getting out there to do that. Do you have any theory as to why that's been an issue for us?
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I can't hear you, buddy. I'm sorry.
I was muted. I'm trying to look up right now to see what that percentage is.
It was like 42% or something like that. It was over 40. I know that much. Maybe even like 45. But yeah, it was bad.
Well, so I don't have that number figured. But the number that I do have figured, and I did this by hand before we started. If you had to guess what the 3-point percentage was for Bulls opponents in the first quarter, what would you say it is?
Gosh, they are just crushing us. I'm going to say it's probably like 51%.
That's my 57.
Guess. Close.
38 of 66. That's what opponents are shooting against the Bulls from the 3-point line in the first quarter.
And that's sizable. That's a sizable amount of shots, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, 57%. That's not something that you can give up. And it seems like the Bulls just continuously give up open 3-point shots. And I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's just teams come out and when they're fresh, the Bulls just don't have a chance to get into rhythm. Because DeMar is such a rhythm guy. Let's be honest, the Bulls struggle. If they don't get defensive stops and DeMar's not rolling, I don't know what it is. What do you see whenever you're watching?
Yeah, I honestly can't tell you. It just seems like – it's not like the effort's not there, because we do see guys running at these shooters, but they're just so far away they can't contest. So, my guess is that other teams have scouted us better. I'm going to put this – if I was to put the onus on somebody – again, we have the athletes on the team. It's not for lack of talent. It's not for lack of athletes. I would have to put it on the coaching staff. I'd have to put it on the fact that the other teams know how we're going to rotate, and they know where we're not going to be, and they know where their 3-point shots are going to come from, and they're just taking advantage of that right now. We're not adjusting, and I did rag on Billy a little bit last season, but I mean I think he's done an okay job. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, but yeah, go ahead. You have something to say? Go ahead.
Oh, one adjustment I did notice they've made is they've done a better job the last couple games at the scrambling. So when they see they're running a pick and roll and they know they're going to have to help, going ahead and starting those rotations a little bit earlier. Like I'd mentioned, I wanted Patrick Williams to be the quarterback and to call those out. He's not doing that, but they have started to do a little bit better, which to me, like, that's a good sign that the coaching staff is committed to that, because that's the kind of play style the championship teams are playing these days. So that's a good sign. But to me, coming out that flat for the first 7 games, whether it's the coaching staff or the players, somewhat like, it's got to be an effort thing, because you don't see this in the second, third, and fourth quarters. It's the first quarter consistently. They're giving up wide open looks time after time.
Well, if they're shooting, you said it was like 53% in the first quarter. So I found the
57.
So I found the, so it's 43.2% is opponent 3-point percentage against the Bulls. They're currently sitting at third worst in the entire NBA, with only the Pacers and the Nets behind them. But so if it's 57% in the first quarter, I mean, that's your problem right there, right? Like, it's not, if that's the case, then that means for the rest, the second, third, and fourth quarters, they're probably shooting closer to like 35-40%, which isn't that bad. That's league average, right? I mean, that's, pretty much league average. You want them about 35%, but
that's the numbers backing up the eye test. It's backing up what we're seeing, what we've been complaining about. So this is a nice case of the numbers backing that up. But to me, that's what you have to clean up. That's the number one issue. So next week when we come back here and we're like, so how the Bulls do this week, I'm going to have the numbers and I'm gonna be like, I need them to be better than this.
Yeah, I think coming out stronger in that first quarter definitely helps. I think, I'm not going to rag on it too much. Not having Lonzo definitely hurts, but you still got Caruso out there. You've got Io. He was injured for that last game, but he played 2 of the 3 games this week. I've loved what I've seen out of Vuce on the defensive end. I don't think it's like it's not a perimeter defense problem. Like, perimeter defense in the Bulls is probably maybe below average to average. So I'm not saying it's great, but it's not like that's not the reason that this is happening. And if you say it's effort, maybe I don't know. I do see effort in the fact that, like, I see guys at, when they're already beat trying to recover, and it's just wasted effort at that point. But there is effort there, so I guess that's what I qualify as effort. But it's just not being in the right place at the right time, in my opinion. So maybe that is an effort thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're not like. Or maybe it's just a basketball IQ thing. Maybe it's just they don't understand where they need to be after a rotation has happened or after a switch has happened, and that's why we're having issues.
I don't want to call it effort. Maybe intensity level.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like the Bulls don't come out focused on running guys off the 3-point line, whereas other teams seem to probably make that more of a focus than the Bulls do. I don't know. I haven't gotten to watch a lot other than the Bulls, but it seems to me like after the first couple games, me and you, like, we were messaging, hey, the Bulls, they can't keep giving up wide open 3-pointers. Like,
yeah,
this is something we saw in the first couple games, and as it continued to happen, we wondered why is this not cleaned up? And that's what I'm looking to get cleaned up. So there's my negative side.
Well, but let me
still win 1-2, and yeah, we had a chance to win against the 76ers.
There was, yeah, both those games were against the Spurs and the Sixers were winnable. We came back and basically made it a game down to the wire, and unfortunately just didn't pull out either win. If we could have, we'd be in a much better mood. But let me pose this question to you, Trey, because like last season, my frustration was that they were giving up wide open layups. There was a lot of times where they were missing, blown assignments, missed rotations. And other teams are scoring in the paint at will. And that doesn't – I mean, I don't think that's the case. Like, eye test to me says that the Bulls' defense on the interior is much improved. I think a lot of that has to go to, obviously Andre Drummond came over. And I think he's done a phenomenal job as the backup. So, what's – so let me pose this to you. What's worse to you? Are you more frustrated by the defense in the paint last season or by the wide-open threes that we're giving up this season?
I'm more frustrated with the wide open threes this season. And the reason I say that is when the Bulls were first last year, we weren't complaining about Vuce's defense as much. It was we needed him to knock down shots. We needed him to be more consistent on the offensive end because we still had Lonzo. We still had Caruso. And those guys we were like, oh, Lonzo and Caruso, they both might make the all defensive teams. We were riding high on that defensive, on that perimeter defense. And Vuce was serviceable, serviceable to good on most nights. Once that defense got taken away, he got exposed. Well, now we have Lonzo's not back, but Io got an offseason under his belt. He's attacking just, like Alonzo. We have Caruso. Javonte Green's been out there. I think, and Vuce, we've seen it on the offensive end just as much as the defensive end. He looks way more comfortable this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
I think it's just he's in a prime position to succeed, and that's what he's doing, which is what he did in Orlando. It's what we expected him to do in Chicago. It's just now finally seeming to all come together for him. So if I had to pick one, I'm disappointed in the 3-pointers because last year Vuce was still good. He just lost his other guys. This year we've got the guys for a good defense if we can just clean up these 3-pointers in the first quarter.
And I think that's a positive thing to take away from this is that, again, the Bulls have the talent. The Bulls have the athleticism to go out there and take care of this. Like, it's not something that's, like, unsolvable. It's not something that's going to be a problem for the rest of the season. It's something that we can clean up and we can work on. And so that does give me some hope there. And let's talk about Vuce because that's, we talked about a negative. So let's flip it over and talk about a positive. I mean, this guy's just been balling this season. Again, what I've loved to see out of Vuce so far is that I love what he's doing to pick out his spots in the offense. He's not forcing anything. There are a few times still when the Bulls are trying to force the ball to him in the post when he has a mismatch and they're not like taking the proper angles to get on the ball, which to me is just insanity. I don't know how you get to the NBA level. You don't understand how to do that. But that's not a Vooch problem. That's an all team problem. But Vooch himself, you know, other than, and we talked about this, you know, off the air throughout the week too, Trey, other than the 3-point percentage, which obviously it's probably corrected itself now after he went, what, like 6 of 7 or something last game, it was something ridiculous. So it's probably like pretty average now, but, you know, I did see Mark Kay, one, you know, friend of the pod here. he's been on the pod before, but he did post that Vooch's 3-point attempt rate was actually higher than last season so far this season, and his percentage was actually lower, but nobody was talking about it because he's just been playing so well in every other aspect of the game. I totally agree with that. Yeah, I don't always agree with Mark Kay, but I definitely agree with that point. But yeah, I think, you know, aside from the 3-pointers, which again will normalize and it did in the last game pretty much. I think this guy's just doing all the right things, bringing, you know, aspects to the game that are, you know, defensively, rebounding, offense, every single, you know, aspect of the game, he's making a positive impact.
I wrote down in my notes, Vooch Variety Hour, because I was kind of looking around at the stats and I stumbled onto the touches. So these are per game touches for Vooch. He's getting 3.5 touches at the elbow, 4.5 touches in the, like, post-up touches, and then seven paint touches. Sorry. Yeah, 7 paint touches. So they're getting Vooch the ball in a variety of ways, and I think that helps him create on different levels because he's such a good passer and he has those good angles. One of the reasons Mark Kay and others, you and myself included, want Patrick Williams to cut is because Vooch is such a good passer that if he would cut, he's going to get rewarded for it. Whereas, you know, some teams, you know, JaVale McGee, he's probably not rewarding you if you cut to the basket like a Vooch is. So I love that they're getting Vooch involved at so many different levels on the offensive end is what I think has really been his bread and butter. Because if he was just shooting threes, like you said, he was shooting a low percentage. He was shooting more than last year. That's all he was doing. Think about how negative things would be right now on the Vooch front.
Yeah, but he's doing a lot of other things also, and anytime he gets in action with the ball handler, he's making all the right choices right now, so he's just playing really well. I hope that continues. I still do maintain that I'd love to see this Bulls team with a different profile of center, a different type of center. I still maintain that, but I will give Vooch's flowers. I've always said Vooch is a very talented player, and he brings a lot to the offensive side of the basketball that a lot of centers don't bring. So
And I play 2K, and I love doing franchise mode. I'm all about those alternate realities, the what ifs. So I
would just love to see it, you know, but that's just me. And I probably won't because I think there's going to be – I think we can talk about that in a minute here. But let me point this out. I was talking about the Bulls' interior defense looking a little bit better. So the eye test, again, matches the stats here. I'm looking up here. The Bulls are 11th in the league in opponent points per paint, points in the paint. So that's actually 11th fewest points, 45.7. So there are 10 teams ahead of them. So, you know, top third of the league, basically, in points in the paint. So definitely matches up with my eye test there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, let's talk a little long term. You know what? So the Bulls are sitting at 3-4, I believe, right? That's our record right now, if I'm correct here. Yeah, 3-4. Bulls are sitting at 3-4. You know, say this continues and the Bulls are a, I don't know, 38-37 win team, right? And the Bulls kind of maybe get the 10th seed, maybe get the 11th seed and miss the play-in. And, you know, things aren't looking so good. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's got one more year left in his contract. Vooch is on an expiring. You'd have to assume that the Bulls do mix things up here, right? And they maybe go into a maybe partial or a quick rebuild of some kind where they get rid of some of those guys. I mean, Vooch is balling out. DeMar's obviously balling out. You can get assets for those guys right now, I think, if you're going to give them to a team that's competing. I'm not going to say any specific teams because I don't have them off the top of my head, but I'm sure you could find something at the deadline, right?
I mean, why didn't you just say the Lakers?
They still want DeMar, right? I mean,
the two biggest prize possessions in the trade available on the trade market are those unprotected Lakers first in 2027 and 2029. If you're looking to do a long-term rebuild, yeah, that's a great play. That's a great option.
But that's not what the Bulls will do, though. The Bulls will not do a long. I mean, they've got Zach LaVine. He's 26, I believe, 26 years old. So, you know, it's not going to be a long-term rebuild. It's going to be a we're going to build something quick around Zach LaVine that works. I don't see them doing a long-term rebuild. I mean, do you? Am I wrong here?
I don't know.
Like, on defense there. 27. Like you, sorry, he's 27.
All right, so imagine this year goes so bad that we're like, okay, we got to trade DeMar. We have to trade Vucevic. Like, we're imagining doomsday scenario, because I don't see that happening, but I'm trying, again, alternate realities. I'm right. trying to put myself in this position.
It's within the realm of possibilities.
If we're playing that bad, and Zach's not playing, but, you know, he's not playing back-to-backs, and when he is playing, the Bulls aren't winning. Again, same with the Lonzo situation. Do you want to invest in a 27-year-old who can't play back-to-backs, who has a bad knee and just can't seem to get to 100%? Or do you want to try and move him while he still has that value, while you're blowing up the rest of the team? Because even if you want it to be a quick rebuild, it's still going to be a three-year rebuild, yeah, minimum. So at that point, he's 30, 31. He's got that many more miles on his knee. I think if you blow it up, you're blowing it completely up.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm just of them. It always seems to me like the Bulls are kind of like locked in with Zach LaVine after giving him all that money, but
I agree. I think they're locked in this year. I think Vooch is going to sign an extension because he likes being in Chicago. He likes his teammates. And I think they're going to play this out at least next year, maybe at next year's deadline. Like, say it goes poorly this year. They get Vooch that extension, and it's still going poorly at the beginning of next year. Then, you know, they trade DeMar to the Lakers for one of those picks, maybe. And then they trade Vooch, and maybe they trade Zach to LA. I think he is from the area. I know he wanted to move to Sacramento. So there's lots of options, but to me, if you blow it up, I think you got to move Zach too.
It's a fair point. It is a fair point, and I can't say I disagree. Guys, if you don't already have our DFS pass, go sign up for it right now, sportsethos.com. It is the hottest thing in the market, man. I am actually over there leading that division. You guys really need to sign up for it because we're going to win you some money. Go do it. DFS pass, $4.99 a month. It is the cheapest thing out there. You're not going to find anything cheaper. So you get access to all the pros. You get to be in our Discord. You get to have lineup locks, and you get to have some amazing builds that all of our team is building for you. So go get it right now. Go get the Ethos 360 pass, even better. Get you the fantasy pass and wager pass also at Sports Ethos. And those guys crush it also. And, you know, Trey, we are talking about, you know, worst case scenario, but the Bulls, you know, realistically, we are two shots away from being, instead of a 3-4 team, being a 5-3 team. Wait, no, that's not right. 5-2 team, sorry. So instead of a 3-4, we could be 5-2.
It's super early, small sample size, and it's not like the Bulls have been blown out in the ends of these games. It could very easily have swung the other way.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan hits that three against the Wizards, or the foul gets called like it should have, then, you know, we win that game, or possibly win that game. And then the Spurs game, if Zach hits that pull up off that mid-range, which I didn't. Let's talk about that. Actually, you know, let's talk about that shot. How did you feel when he took that shot? Obviously, looking back, I didn't even see it when it happened, but you have Vooch standing in the corner, who was absolutely lights out from three, and Zach didn't pass him the ball. After the game, he did mention that, you know, when somebody asked him, he said, you know, I didn't see Vooch there. If I would have played again, I would have played it differently. I don't think you should have that mentality. I think it was a fine shot. It was an open shot. He is Zach LaVine. He is the guy that we paid.
Thank you.
So I had no problem with the shot. I wish it would have.
How are you going to be mad at our max player, Zach LaVine, who is a great scorer, getting a wide open jump shot? Yeah, it would have been great if he saw Vooch and maybe passed to the hot hand. But even if he would have said, yeah, I saw him, but I was open, I was in a rhythm, and I felt good, I would still back the shot. It was a good shot. They knew DeMar was going to get the double. That's why they ran the pick and roll with Zach. DeMar immediately threw him the ball. Zach got in rhythm, got his shot, got an open look. It didn't fall. It happens. But that's the guy you want taking the shot. Zach or DeMar, wide open.
And Jordan, you know, we've seen Jordan, those quotes all the time. You know, you miss all the shots you don't take, all that bull crap. He missed plenty of game-winning shots. And so I'm not mad at Zach LaVine for taking that shot. I thought it was a good shot. He was open. Moving on, you know, you miss it, you move on. It's no big deal.
I don't even understand why it was a conversation. Like, if he had been, you know, the defense draped all over him, I would understand, hey, why didn't you look to the open guy when you weren't open? But he was wide open. He was in rhythm. It was
He got a clean look. I mean, that's all you can ask for in that situation. It's an end of game situation. I think there was about a minute left. You know, that's all you can ask for. Just a clean look from your best players. That's it. So
I got a fun question for you.
Yeah.
Is this good? So the game is this good or bad?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Is this good or bad? Okay. Got it.
Patrick Williams averages less than one dribble per touch. He averages 0.92 dribbles per touch. So he's more likely to shoot the ball or pass the ball than to put it on the floor.
I think that's good.
You think so? Because at first I was like, man, I'd really like to see him attack a little bit more, you know, get a couple dribbles, maybe try and post up if you get a smaller guy on you. But the more I thought about it, the more I think you're right. I think I want him either catching and shooting, one dribble and, you know, dunking home, or catching and passing. Because he's so athletic, he can dunk in one dribble.
Let me put it this way. It depends on who's around him. It depends on what players are around him. So, like, right now, I haven't looked at his box scores recently. And honestly, I haven't even really noticed him on the floor these last few games, which is worrisome in its own front. We can talk about that. But it depends on who's around him. If he's in the game with Zach and DeMar and Vooch, I think the less dribbles, the better, because he needs to move that ball. He needs to let it pop. If he's not moving the ball and getting it out of his hands, he's taking a shot as soon as he gets it. And that's what I would like for Patrick Williams to do. If he needs to drive, you know, one or two dribbles to the hole to get a dunk or something like that, I would love to see, you know, again, you were talking about him cutting, getting a receiving a pass while he's cutting and maybe one dribble and then go up and dunk it. That's the kind of stuff I want Patrick Williams doing. I don't want him sizing up with a defender and trying to take him one-on-one. I've seen that, what that looks like in the summer league and everything. And it's just not his game. It's just not what he's going to do. Maybe somewhere down the line, that's what he develops. So I think it's a good thing that he has fewer dribbles per possession. Okay. Yeah, another one for me?
No, that was really all I got.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, no. I do have one more, actually, that fits this. Io five drives per game. I want more.
Yeah,
I think that's bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the best. He's best when he's actually shot. And I said this before. He's shooting it really well, and shooting it off the dribble really well. And I'm happy about that.
But I don't have his off the dribble, but I do have his catch and shoot 3-point number. 45% higher or lower?
Higher.
Lower. 43.5%. I got you on that one. He's shooting 43.5% from three on catch and shoots and on almost four a game. So he's shooting a lot of them too. So I do like the fact that he's becoming a catch and shoot threat. Now that he is, I want to see him attack those closeouts more than five times a game.
Yeah, I think Io is best when he's catching and shooting or when he's driving to the lane. I don't need Io DeSumo to take mid-range jumpers for me. That's why I have Zach LaVine. That's why I have DeMar DeRozan. That's why I have Vucevic if I have to. I'd rather have those three guys take a mid-range jumper than Io DeSumo. So I want Io either driving it or shooting it. Five per game. I mean, I'd have to see how many – I don't know off the top of my head how many shot attempts he has per game. It's not many. So
He doesn't even necessarily have to get shots. I wouldn't care if he did the Steve Nash, just drive into the lane and dribble right back out, just to penetrate and to, you know, just to
probe.
to probe and see what you can find. Because while he's not an excellent playmaker, he does a really good job, I feel like, of attacking a defense, bending the defense, and then getting the open guy a good look.
I think he's going to excel.
You did mention that you would rather DeMar, Zach, or Vooch or somebody else shoot than Io. Io actually has the best effective field goal percentage on the team at 60%. So,
effective field goal percentage takes into account that if you're shooting a three or whatever. I mean, I'd rather.
And they've also played like seven games. Yeah, so small sample size.
But yeah, no. But you know, no. Io's had a great season. I love Io. I'm trying to look at his field goal attempts per game right now, just to kind of see he's gotten up. 9.8 attempts per game, which is pretty good. That's decent. I would like to see that increase, honestly, especially if you're shooting it so efficiently. You know, maybe your efficiency comes down a little bit if you shoot a little bit more. But he needs to be aggressive, man. We need a guy out there, especially when, you know, Zach's out. Zach has been out for half the season already. And, you know, maybe DeMar doesn't necessarily have it for a quarter. We need somebody to step in there and do that. I think Io can be that guy for sure. You know, he's I'm looking at his box right now, 17, you know, box scores, 17 points, 22 points, 12 points, 12 points. Those, you know, 4 out of 6 games, he's had a really decent showing on offense. So, you know, I just want to see more Io, man. I just want to see more Io. I love this kid. I think he's really good. On the defensive end, too, he's really good. But here's again what I'm going to point, and I'm going to drill this home again. I think he's a better shooting guard than he is a point guard. I don't think he's got that. You were talking about like a Steve Nash type, you know, probing and seeing how the defense reacts, and then, you know, using your basketball IQ to play off of that. I don't know if he has that playmaking ability to do that efficiently, honestly. I think he's more of a shooting guard. And I don't know. I mean, we can argue about this and debate about it for hours, but, you know, I mean, tell me your thoughts.
I think you're right in the sense that he doesn't have elite passing vision. He doesn't see something and know, okay, if I drive here, this guy is going to rotate here and that guy's going to go there and this guy's going to go here. I think he sees, okay, if I drive here, it's going to pull Vooch's man down and Vooch is going to stay out there and I'm going to kick it out to him. I think he makes the one step playmaking passes. Yeah,
it's like a QB that always goes to their first read, right?
Right. He's either hitting that first read or he's taking off and scrambling. And Io's either hitting that first read or he's attacking the rim for a layup.
Exactly. And I love that about Io. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I think he's going to really excel when he gets a point guard next to him. I can't wait for this team to be whole and have Lonzo Ball again. And, you know, Io can come off the bench and be just kind of like a 25-minute per game guy off the bench, a shooting guard slash small forward. Because I think he can play small forward, too, against, you know, teams that don't necessarily have those big wings. I think he could do that also. If we want to play like some 3-guard lineups, I think Io's going to really excel in that role. So
I would really like to have the coaching staff just when they do the scrimmages, just tell him every time he gets the ball, he has to dribble 6 times before he can pass it.
Yeah.
Make him have to dribble around.
I mean, the level of improvement he's shown all of us from college to the pros to year 1 to year 2, I think he can. You know, I think you should challenge him. You should challenge that guy and give him stuff like to do like that. I think he could get there for sure. Okay, so we kind of got a little off track, but not really. I mean, it's all Bulls, so it's not off track at all. But let's talk about, I don't think we talked about that Spurs game a bit. Let's talk about that Sixers game. You know, again, the Bulls dug themselves a hole. Both teams run a back-to-back. Embiid, though, did not play in the first half of the back-to-back. Zach LaVine didn't play in the first half of the back-to-back. But we didn't have Io, we didn't have Andre Drummond. So I felt like that was going to be a really uphill battle for us anyways. I'm proud of the team for making a game out of it. But I had chalked it up as a loss, like, even before the game had started. I mean, did you feel the same way about it?
Not really. I wanted to see them come out and compete, and to watch them get down 15 in the first, it was disappointing. It was nice to see them fight back. Andre Drummond was really missed. Which is funny to say, but we just didn't have the size to match up with Embiid. He was in there for a minute without Vooch being in there, and it was so laughable that the commentators were just, you know, just cracking jokes basically. Yeah. And, you know, going down 19, I wanted this team to compete, you know, be a pseudo contender. I think the 76ers, even with their slow start, I think they're going to end up being a contender. And yeah, they kind of fell flat on their face. Yeah, they recovered nicely. They got back in the game, and I know it was the second night of a back to back. They had to play hard against the Spurs to dig out of that hole. But if you don't get in holes, you don't have to dig out. And they keep doing this to themselves. I wanted to see them come out and be like, okay, we just lost to San Antonio. This is a measuring stick game to see where we're at. And they come out and fall down 15.
Just these disappointing starts, it's really just disheartening. Hopefully we turn that around. I would have to hope that that's something that we can, you know, take care of and adjust to. So here's an interesting little bit of information we got during this week, and I know I messaged you about it, so I wanted to address it on the pod. Alex Caruso, it was Billy Donovan, I believe, talking about Alex Caruso, saying that this guy plays just bat crap insane, and he's just like up and down the floor. He's just a bowling ball. Which I've always known. That's why we love him. That's why we love Alex Caruso. But he's saying that he needs to take it a little easy on Alex Caruso because he plays that way, so he's more likely to get hurt. which is, I mean, he said it in slightly different words. I'll have to find the actual quote. But this is something I'd said in the pod. And I got a little pushback from you, Mr. Trey. But it turns out, I mean, you know, not too much pushback, but it turns out that that's something that Billy Donovan's concerned about, too. Is this something you're finally concerned about?
I mean, I think I said at the time, I'm not going to take him out because I'm worried about him getting hurt. I still stand by that. I want him playing 25, 30 minutes a game. But yeah, when he's out there, he's going to go 100%. And you might, I guess when you watch him, you might lose something when you hit that 30 minute threshold that maybe if you play him 25 minutes, he can go at 100 RPMs and, you know, not break down, not give out. But to me, I find whatever that number is where I'm maximizing, he still can go 100% and not take anything away. Whether that's 25 minutes, 28 minutes, 32 minutes, if he could be out there for 48 minutes, I'd want him out there for 48 minutes.
I mean, look, I get the I get the theory behind this, you know. And let me just talk about this as more of a broad thing. And I said this was ridiculous when Kawhi did this the first game of season two. And they were like, okay, we're going to bring him off the bench. Stupid, first of all, because, okay, this is a guy that's recovering from ACL tear, and we're going to make him, you know, warm up and then sit and then play a basketball game. That's freaking dumb, first of all. Second of all, okay, we're going to limit him to 25 minutes as opposed to, you know, 28 minutes or whatever. And it's just like, well, okay, great. A guy can get hurt in 2 minutes. Like, I get, like, in theory, yes, over the long term, if you play 25 as opposed to 30 minutes and you extrapolate that over 100 games, now you've saved yourself 500 minutes of competitive basketball. But these guys work out 6-7 days a week at that level. Like, they can hurt themselves doing that. I don't get the whole limit them. Even though I'm of the same mindset as Billy is, that, you know, this guy's probably going to get hurt. I don't think limiting his minutes is the answer. I don't think that's the answer for anyone. I think you just have to play it and just kind of take things as they come and just kind of maybe manage injuries as they come. I found the actual quote, though, Trey. Here it is. I think one of the things that's been a little challenging for him is his minutes have greatly increased with the Bulls than they had been. We've got to make sure that he's productive in his minutes, and the way he plays, he's reckless. And I say that in a very complimentary way. He puts himself into the game, and he's probably going to be susceptible to these type of things. We have to watch him. When he starts getting up into 30-plus minutes over a period of time, I think that's a big toll on him because generally his loads, even for his number of minutes, are high because of how much he exerts in a game. So, again, I think this is – it just feels like flawed logic to me. Tell me I'm wrong. Please, tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, you're not wrong. I agree. He plays so hard. You want to watch and see when he's starting to break down a little bit. And that's when you force him to go to come off the floor because he's not going to take his foot off the gas. He's not going to be Zach LaVine last year and play injured and just manage it and find a way through it. He's going to play through something till it rips. And like that's not something you want to put him through. So I like having him as like the super sub who starts. I think he's great in his role, and he embraces that. I think we don't value enough the guys who are willing to sacrifice, who are happy to average 9 points a game on, you know, 4 shots and come off the bench and do all these little things. And Caruso is just the perfect example of that. And yeah, that's why you want him out there. That's why you want Javonte Green out there, because they're going 100%, and it's just – it's fun to watch.
I wasn't even going to bring up Javonte, but Javonte appreciation, like, minute here. Every time this guy comes into the game, I love what I see out of him, man. This guy is so active on the boards, so active on the defensive end, so active on offense, getting out in transition and getting dunks. I mean – okay, where let me ask you this. Let me put it this way. Where do you sit right now on Javonte versus Patrick Williams? Who starts? I mean, we're a week later. Where do you sit at that point?
I think if you want to be a contender, Patrick Williams has to be your starter. I think part of the reason Vooch is more comfortable coming out higher, showing harder, doing those types of things is because Patrick Williams is behind him and he's a much better rim protector. He's a much better help defender than Javonte is just because of his size. Like, even though Patrick Williams gets lost, he gets back cut, he's still struggling a little bit on the defense. Even though this last game was definitely his best game and he's continued to get better, but he's struggled on the on-ball individual, but the help defense, the help side rim defense, that's been there. And I love Javonte Green. I think, you know, if Patrick Williams needs to sit, I love when he has to start. But if you want this team to be a contender, Patrick Williams is the guy that I think has to be in there of those two.
Yeah, I do think, you know, if you're talking about ceiling, I agree with you. But man, I do love when Javonte's in there. I just feel like he affects the game so much. I want Patrick Williams.
Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
I would rather start Derrick Jones Jr. and still bring Javonte Green off the bench.
That is a hot take.
Because of the size Derrick Jones Jr. offers on the back line, the help defense, just all of that. So, yeah, I think if Patrick Williams was out after what Jones has shown, I think I would start him. There's my hot take for the pod.
I'm not going to call it scorching, but it's very hot. It's spicy. It's very spicy. No, I like it. Well, the Bulls do have some games coming up here, if I can ever navigate to the right screen.
I've got it. Tuesday, Brooklyn, at Brooklyn on TNT, primetime.
Oh, the TNT games. We're going to lose that one for sure. Oh, go
ahead. Oh, man. They need to just beat the they just need to take
the Nets
care
are struggling.
Of Brooklyn.
The Nets are struggling right now. Yeah,
I do not want the Bulls to be the team that Kyrie gets his team to get their shit together with. No, yeah. The Bulls will not be the team that they turn it around on. I cannot have it. But after that game, it's the first of a back-to-back. Then they play against Charlotte at home. They're off Thursday. Then they play Friday at Boston and Sunday at Toronto.
Oof,
so Brooklyn, Charlotte, Boston, Toronto.
It does not get easy. The East is just insane. It's just so deep right now. So predictions. You know, we got four games here. What do you think they go? And we might talk before, or no, we'll probably talk after that Sunday game.
I need them to go 2-2. I want, but yeah. I need at least 2-2. I'm hoping 3-1.
Yeah, I would. I mean,
we already beat Boston once. I don't see us getting that one back.
Yeah,
I think Boston's going to get us back after we got them earlier this season.
On us. Yeah.
Right, but I think we can beat Toronto. I think we can beat Charlotte.
That's going to be the third game in four nights, too, so that's just going to be rough.
Oh, yeah, we do have four games in five nights. Oof.
Yeah, it's just not good.
The scheduling gods were not kind to the Bulls early on. Lots of back-to-backs, lots of four and fives. It's just not good.
Our end of season slash, like, after the All-Star break, though, is pretty light. So, you know, hopefully we're sitting pretty there, and then we can take all the extra rest and put it on teams and close out strong here. But
all right, so what about you? I said 2-2.
Yeah,
minimum. I'm already wavering whenever I realized how many games that is crammed in there. But no, 2-2. I need 2-2.
I'm gonna go the same. I think they can probably win these first two. I think they're gonna win this first two against the Nets and Charlotte, and then I could see them drop into the Celtics. Raptors kind of a 50-50 for me. Like you said, I hope it's a 3-1, but I think they're gonna go 2-2. That's my guess. So We'll check in with you guys next week and see how it goes. But until then, that's going to be it, guys. I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And do go follow the show, everybody, at EthosBulls, at EthosBulls. And leave us a 5-star review.